Nice to see everybody's joined with us, and if you have a Bible, perhaps we could turn to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel in chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 1. And he went out from thence, and came unto his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And Mary, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these great things? And what wisdom is this, which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not these his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honour, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marvelled because of their unbelief. And he went round the villages, teaching. And we'll look to God to bless his word. In verse 1, he has come to his own hometown where he was reared. Not where he was born, but where he was educated and grew up. And he was well known to many people in that town. He would have played in the streets with most of them when he was a child. And they would all came to know him very well. In his first visit to Nazareth, that's recorded in Luke's Gospel, he went to the synagogue and stood up to read the scriptures. When he read to them Isaiah, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he sat down and declared, This day, this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. Then he began to teach them. And they marveled at his gracious words, and asked, Is this not Joseph's son? What could have been more convincing to those people who he really was? They would have heard of his many great miracles, how he raised the dead and made the blind to see, the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. And they were even astonished. So great was his words. They were astonished at him. But when we look in verse 3, we see their opinion of him. Is this not the carpenter? Oh, Christ humbled himself all right. They look at him as no more as a common joiner. Is that not Mary's boy? And they would not know his brothers and sisters. And they were offended at him. The King of Glory and the Son of God. And they were offended. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 it says, And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient whereunto they were appointed. Here we see the result of their unbelief. He could do no mighty works here. Their unbelief even stopped the work of God. So he left there and he went round about the other villages. And Jesus marvelled at their unbelief. Many times in Scripture we see Jesus marvelling at people's belief, at their faith. But here he marvels at their unbelief. He'd done so many things to prove he was the Messiah. He had been fulfilling the prophecies concerning Messiah. Not only those that he had earlier read for him in Isaiah, but many others. And he'd been doing miracles throughout Galilee, casting out demons and even raising the dead. Jesus said, The works that I do, they testify of me. Later to his disciples, he said, Believe me or else believe me for the work's sake. But these folks would not believe. So they rejected Christ, the Saviour of mankind. Belief is an essential thing. It's by believing in the Lord Jesus that we're saved. The greatest way we can please God is to believe his word. It would seem that Christ was almost pleading for faith on the part of his hearers in John 14 and 11. He said, believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the word's sake. And my question to you tonight is, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came among men to die as a substitute for every sin that you have ever done? I believe in Christ. I stand up here because I believe in Christ. I'll be somewhere else, because sometimes when I have to come up here, I don't really want to come up here, but here I am because I believe in Christ. And I believe he is who he said he is, because the word of God tells me who he is. In Hebrews 6 and 18, it says, for it is impossible for God to lie. If God told you a lie, he would cease to be God. You only have to look at the prophecies, hundreds of years before his birth, prophecies of his life, and of his miracles, and of his death, of his resurrection. There's no one else who fulfills them. He fulfilled every prophecy of the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And if you're sitting here tonight and you say, I don't believe, then you make God a liar. How would you, a mortal man or woman, feel if when you come in the door tonight, I ask you your name and where you come from, and you tell me out of politeness, and I say to you, I don't believe you. I wouldn't blame you if you'd be offended. Well, that's exactly what God is. God is offended because of our unbelief. And all his majesty and glory, who holds all things together with his mighty hand, and puny little man says, I don't believe you. God, you're a liar, and I don't believe what you say in your word about Jesus Christ, your son. It makes the hair in my neck stand to even think about it. But you may say, oh, I wouldn't have put it like that. I'm not calling him a liar. I just don't believe. That's right. You're not believing the word of God. The saying is not telling you the truth. So he must be lying. I ask you, could anything be worse? Well, there is some that could be worse as that. And that's to sit where you are tonight and to believe in Christ. To actually believe that there was such a man and believe who he was. And for some reason reject him. If you leave this place tonight, you will either be saying, I don't believe any of that, or I know the word of God is true. I don't want God or his way of salvation. My sin is worth more to me than Christ. Maybe you think there's another way, then the God of this world has blinded your mind. And whether it be your sin or your religion, or maybe your own righteousness, if you're not depending on Christ, and in Christ crucified, and if you die tonight, you're lost. Don't be like those we read in the text. They missed him because they thought they knew him too well. If you ever want to be in heaven, don't let anything divert you from Christ, and Christ alone, for there's no other way. There are many people today in unbelief, because they think they know Jesus. They've formed their opinions upon the remarks and statements of others. They've never even searched the scriptures for themselves. And the claims of Jesus Christ are so radical, and the consequences of not believing him are so great, that you'd be wise to examine the scriptures and all the evidence personally before forming an opinion. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Eternal life our eternal damnation is at stake. And with the stakes so high, you should make more than just a cursory examination of the facts. Jesus had challenged them in the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You might read the Bible and know the Bible from back to front, but if you miss who it's telling you about, then you're lost. My dear friends, there's many in hell tonight, and they've sat where you're sitting. Don't repeat their mistake, and reject the only one who's waiting to save you. Christ longs to save you. No one else has died for you, but he has. Will you reject such love that Christ has for you? That's why you'll be cast into hell, for rejecting the only way of escape. All your sin, and Christ alone can obtain forgiveness for you, for only he died for you. You may be sitting here tonight and thinking, if they only knew some of the things I've done, they wouldn't be saying I could be saved. God says in his word, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. They're not my words. It's God's solemn promise. Just believed and saved you are. Don't end up in hell because you think you're too bad. That's a lie of the devil. Christ bore all your badness at Calvary. Take God at his word. All things shall pass away, but his word shall remain forever. Do you know the people who think the Bible is just an old book? They say it's out of date with the time in which we live. And new Bibles are being written. And there's some been written to suit women. And some been written to suit gay rights people. And even new ones for modern churches. We're even told that we can't believe everything in the Bible. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19 is a different view concerning these things. My friend, the Bible is a word of God. It's still warm with his breath on it. Don't let any man, or minister, or priest, or Satan, or anyone lead you away from it. There was once found a rattle in South America that was over 600 years old, and it was so fragile when they picked it up and looked at it, it broke. And when it broke, a seed fell from inside it. The seed that made the rattle. And just out of curiosity, somebody took that seed and planted it in the ground. In 1979, and there now stands a tree over 12 feet tall. That seed was old, but it still did what it was made to do. And so it is with the word of God. And my advice to you be tonight is to take it and read it. And plant it in your heart, and let the Spirit of God reveal it to you, to the saving of your soul. Don't be fooled what other people believe, or would have you believe. Find it out for yourself, from the Word of God. The destiny of your soul depends on it. And you can put all your trust in it, and in whom it is all about. For in Hebrews 10 and 7 it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that's written of me to do thy will, O God. The book and Christ, they can't be separated. They stand together. And if there is any hope for you, you'll have to accept the both of them. I ask you then, what think ye of Christ, and what will you do with him? Your answer to these questions will determine your eternal destiny. If you walk out that door tonight without asking him to be your own saviour, then that is rejecting him. If you die in that condition, you will always be without him. And that is forever. You see, that's why men go to hell. For rejecting God's way of escape. For all have sinned. It's not just your sin that will take you to hell. It's the refusal of the cure for the sin. In John 10 and 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I'd like you to think, if I'm not like the door you come in tonight, but I'd like you to think of Christ as that door. If this place was suddenly filled with black smoke and burning flames, and I stand up here and I can see you going about looking for a way out, and I can see that door, and I can see your predicament, and I shout, come by the door! Would you just ignore it? Would you just want to stumble about there in the flames and the fire and burn? My friend, get real. This world is heading for terrible judgment and wrath. Flee to Christ. What I've told you is just an example, but what I'm saying is real. Don't be a fool. To be more... consider how great and excellent the person is whom you are rejecting. Not even worth your consideration. You think the objects and pleasures of this world more worthy than Jesus Christ, who hung in shame and agony. Though we are worms of the dust and vile sinners and creatures of living in the darkness, yet we take it grievously when we are despised. Consider how you yourselves are ready to resent it when any of your neighbours seem to slight you and look down on you and what you say and what you do and make no account of it, but treat you as if you were a good for nothing and not worth minding. Do you take this well from your neighbours, your equals, when you observe anything of this nature? Are you not ready to look upon it with resentment, to think ill of it, and to judge that you have great cause to be offended? What has been said may show why unbelief is spoken of as a heinous sin, for thereby all the glory of Christ is set at nothing. Though it be so great, though it be so infinite, though it be the glory of the Godhead itself, you set it at nothing. Consider now how much the angels set the glory of Christ, but how much God himself sets it. For he is the darling of heaven. He was eternally God's delight. Can you imagine how it must have broke the heart of God to watch his darling son so cruelly handled by evil men that did their worst to him? The spittle in his face, mingled with the blood from the blows of their fists, the beard dripped from his cheeks, and the skin torn from his back, and nailed to a cross for you and for me. And his heavenly Father turns his back on him, for when he looks in him there, he sees my son and your son. And God cannot look upon sin, so he leaves his darling son there to suffer alone. It's then we hear that lonely call. My God, why have you forsaken me? My dear friend in the meeting, it's all those things you've done that's pricked and hurt your conscience. That's why God couldn't look upon his perfect son there in that time. So we ask you to look to him tonight. He could have called the angels, but such is his love for you, he stayed in that lonely tree. He was rejected at Nazareth among his own. I ask, will he be rejected in New Covenant tonight? Unbelief is a sin. Rejection is even greater. If I could offer you a Saviour tonight that was agreeable to your corrupt nature and to your sinful ways of life, such a Saviour would be accepted by this world with open arms. But that's not what we're offering. We're offering a Saviour and being of such purity and holiness and divine perfection. This is why you have no inclinations to him, but are offended at him. Instead of being a precious stone in your eyes, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence to you. I hope you may be convinced of your danger. You must be aware that such guilt will bring great wrath. Dreadful destruction is told of in the scripture against those that even despise the disciples of Christ. In Matthew 18 and 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. That's the words of Christ. It would be better for a big stone tied round your neck and cast into the sea, than to reject and not believe in the Son of God. What destruction will come then, and then that despise Christ himself? The cross was a lonely place for Christ. If you decide to reject him, hell will be a lonelier place for you. So I ask you to consider, God has given him, and he's there tonight just to be accepted. I was never any good in my life, and I did it. And there's many sitting round about you, and it all says, God, I'm no good. But I look at your son and he was perfect. And I put my faith in him. And what you did to him in Calvary was good enough for you. Then it's good enough for me. And I accept him tonight as my Lord and Saviour. But I ask you, don't get out that door. If Christ should return tonight and you went out here and haven't accepted him as your Saviour, then you're lost forever. And all you need to do is come believing. Only a step to Jesus. He's closer to you than the person sitting next to you. And he loves you. We've seen that at Calvary. With his arms wide open, nailed to a tree, pleading for sinners to come. Will you just consider him and come to him tonight? That is our prayer. That you would come to know the Saviour as your own and personal Saviour. And the one that would take you to heaven. So we'll leave it with you. We'll just commit ourselves to the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before thee. We thank thee for that precious Son. We thank thee for heaven's darling, thy beloved Son in whom is all thy delight. And our God, he was given for sinful man. And there he hanging on the tree, we were on his mind. And Father, as we sit in this meeting hall tonight, he's still there pleading for sinners. And our God, we thank thee that one day he's coming again. And it could be this very night that he would come in the clouds. And Father, we pray that everyone in this hall would be ready. Ready and waiting for thy precious Son. Father, we think of him as despised. And we see a world outside this door tonight that cares nothing for him. We've seen him rejected at Nazareth. Many times he's been rejected in Newcomer. Many times has been rejected in Sanker and all the places round about. And Father, as we see people tonight, they couldn't care less about them. Rejected. Always rejected. So Father, we pray that anyone in here tonight that's been worried about their soul or maybe worried about where they'll spend eternity would look to Calvary's cross and call on the Saviour that can save them. Lord, we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. We could maybe sing a closing hymn, number 240, maybe just first, third and fifth verse, 240.